And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Charles Greenfield speaks with the renowned pianist Andre Watts about his stellar career and his upcoming concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Arsht next Thursday. We catch up with local jazz legend Melton Mustafa and discuss his new CD, The Traveling Man. Today's arts calendar features Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, with enticing events for your consideration. One of the most important jazz support organizations here in South Florida is Women in Jazz South Florida Incorporated, founded by singer, songwriter, pianist, and executive director Ms. Joan Cartwright. Its mission is to promote women musicians on a global basis. They'll produce, together with the South Florida Symphony, the International Music Women Festival and Conference, October 9th through the 13th, coming up this fall. More immediately, tomorrow's presentation, Amazing Music Women, will offer a staged concert featuring music in a multimedia presentation with biographies about legendary women who wrote and performed jazz and blues. Ms. Cartwright has gathered a cast of great South Florida female singers and instrumentalists to perform the music of Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, Lil Hardin, Mary Lou Williams, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and Peggy Lee, among other American music legends. Amazing Music Women is also scheduled for Sunday, March 10th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Sunrise Civic Center Theater. And with us today to tell us about all of the excitement is Ms. Joan Cartwright. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Joan.
Well, thanks for having me, Ed. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Always a pleasure to have you join us. Tell me, how was Women in Jazz South Florida founded and why?
Well, after 34 years of working with men, I realized that there weren't any women playing music, particularly in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm a member of International Women in Jazz in New York, and I did a couple of concerts for them. But here, you don't ever see women performing. Even the females that perform on piano, they're out on the ships, mm-hmm. so you don't get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But when is the last time you saw an all-women band?
Oh, gosh, yeah. They just aren't around, unfortunately. Yours, of course, but that's it.
Well, so we have Roberta DeMuro on piano, Lindsay Johnson on bass, Robin Alexander on drums, Rochelle Frederick on saxophone. The three singers are Jacynthia Beverly Barkley, who is returning to the scene, and yours truly. And then we have a dancer, Anita Havel. So we performed at the Arts Garage, but I've been doing Amazing Music Women since 1997. Through C's grants in the mm-hmm. Broward schools.
Mm-hmm.
I did it a couple of times in Miami with Arts for Learning, you know, through grants. But it is like pulling teeth mm-hmm. to get people to understand how important it is to support women's music.
Of course.
Where were you the first time you heard music?
Oh, I don't know. I was in my crib.
You were in your mother's womb.
Yes.
Your mother was the first musical instrument that you ever encountered. The heartbeat was a drum.
Yeah.
The blood through her veins was the strings. And she was probably humming. So she was your first musical instrument. But out here in the world, particularly in the jazz scene, women are marginalized.
Hmm.
I mean, think about Tanya Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she?
Great Brazilian vocalist.
Have you seen her?
And pianist. She's coming back. She's got a new release that was reviewed on NPR.
But she's
about
been
a week
gone
ago.
For so long.
Yeah, you wonder.
You know,
well, on that note, Flora Purim, the wonderful vocalist and wife of Ayrton Moreira, the incredible Brazilian percussionist, they've been kind of gone from the scene, and on, the stories go on and on.
Well, even if you look in the pop world,
mm-hmm.
Beyonce has Jay-Z. He pushes her out mm-hmm. there. Estefan, Gloria, mm-hmm. with Emilio. You know, they're always connected to a man if they're successful. Not a bad thing to be. Mm-hmm. However, there are several women out there who are really struggling. And we wish that there was an angel that would understand how we need an endowment to make this organization work.
You're looking for an angel, and you're looking for members for your organization. So that is definitely why the organization was formed. Were you and a few friends involved originally? Or?
Well, yes. I had a few friends step up to the plate and bring in a donation. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, they got a certificate. There was mm-hmm. about 20 of them.
And you became a 501c3.
Right. Mm-hmm. That took about a year. And now we have 209 members, 101 musicians, 47 men who support us. And, you know, I do a radio show, Blog Talk Radio, which is Music Woman. I do it every Thursday from 4 to 4:30. Mm-hmm. And I feature women composers. And then I have the website, wijsf.com or .org, where we feature out musicians. We have a newsletter, you know. And I get to do all of this work basically for free.
You're a huge production force of one doing all this work.
Also, we have our third compilation CD, bringing us up to 27 women that we have documented.
From all over the world.
From all over the world. Right. Italy, and we have all over the country. Mm-hmm. You know, we also have a new member from India, whom I hope will be featured at the International Music Women Festival and Conference.
Mm-hmm. And that's coming up in October. But before we get to that, and in our final few moments, we want to mention once again the show Amazing Music Women, tomorrow at 7:30 at the Bienes Center for the Arts, 2801 Southwest 12th Street in Fort Lauderdale. It's a wonderful location, new, beautiful conference center, and it's just west of 95 on Davie Boulevard, I believe.
Right.
More information at wijsf.com or .org, and you can call Joan directly at 954-740-3398. Now, you have just Cynthia, Roberta DeMuro, mm-hmm. and who else is in the band? Robin Alexander?
Drummer. Lindsey Johnson, bassist. Rochelle Frederick, saxophone.
You'll be singing, too.
We do it. It's lecture mm-hmm. and song. Mm-hmm. Lecture and song.
I've seen it, and it's a wonderful presentation. It should be in all the schools. The schools should start booking you. And
particularly the colleges and universities. More than that, if you are really sincere about listening to women's music, give me a call. Join us. You know, donate to the cause. Help me move this thing forward. We're 5 years old. We'll be six in March. And we need help. I'm calling for help.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful statement. So tomorrow it kicks off at 7:30, once again in the Bienes Center. That's on the campus, I believe, of St. Thomas. Of Aquinas.
It's one block north of Davie Boulevard.
And what tunes will you be covering by these great women in jazz
and
blues?
Well, we'll do a couple of songs that women made popular, like Alberta Hunt and Darktown. Mm-hmm. Strutter's Ball.
Handyman. Love that tune, Handyman.
Well, that's her tune, yeah. We didn't do her tune. It's a little risque.
Yes,
so
it is.
I have to keep away from that, especially with the kids.
But I've heard you do that. You do it so
I love
well.
It. And Rough and Ready Man. Then Ella's A Tisket a Tasket. And what? We have Nina Simone.
Oh, you covered the greats.
My
it's
baby.
Really...
Just Cares for Me.
It's really a
Peggy
marvelous.
Lee, Fever. Mm-hmm. Toshiko Akiyoshi, her song will be played, Harlequin's Tear. Hmm. And, like Mary Lou Williams probably arranged In a Mellow Tone mm-hmm. for Duke Ellington. Mm-hmm. Dinah Washington, What a Difference a Day Made. Ipanema, you know, that Sarah Vaughan would have sung. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's popular tunes that people will recognize. But most important is the story of these women, her stories, stories.
Now, very important, of course. Now, in our final few moments with Ms. Joan Cartwright, let's talk about International Music Women Festival and Conference, October 9th through the 13th at the Atlantic Resort and Spa, 601 Fort Lauderdale Beach Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale. You want people to come.
Yes.
You want people to...
We are trying to attract 250 to 500 women composers and instrumentalists from around the world. The difficulty is that women musicians just don't have money. Mm-hmm. They don't have it. I have interviewed well over close to 200 women.
On your Music
on
Woman blog. Yeah.
Music Woman Blog Talk Radio. And all of them have the same issue. I can't afford to pay the registration. Mm-hmm. I can't afford the hotel. I can't afford the airplane ticket. Yet and still, you go to a conference of pipe layers,
and
you got 3,000 of them. You know, but women musicians really need to converse, to commune about why they are being left out of the financial equation in the United States and in Europe. Dona in Musica in Rome had a report, We Must, that 1% of public funding goes to the music of women.
Yikes. That's not right. And I hope we have better numbers here.
We don't have numbers here.
Wow.
I've contacted NEA, Florida State, you know, so many different organizations have no numbers.
Well, I hope that corrects itself because Women in Jazz South Florida Incorporated really needs help, your help, and the wonderful show Amazing Music Women is tomorrow once again at 7:30 at the Bienes Center for the Arts, 2801 Southwest 12th Street in Fort Lauderdale. Go to the website wijsf.com or .org and call 954-740-3398. Joan Cartwright, you have a magnificent mission. Good luck. I know you will prevail.
I hope so. Thank you, Ed. Fast notes, hot notes, sounding like some new notes. The beat is so hip when they're talking that jazz. The beat is so hip when they're talking that jazz. To propagate the music, I make the razzmatazz. I'm walking and a squawking and talking that jazz.
Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Miami's beloved jazz performer and educator, Melton Mustafa, talks about living a healthy life and his new CD, The Traveling Man. Today's arts calendar features Deborah Margol with enticing events in Miami-Dade County. Next Thursday, February 7th, one of the world's preeminent orchestras performs at the Arsht with an internationally acclaimed American pianist who officially debuted with the orchestra at the tender age of 14. Charles Greenfield has the details.
The assumption that talent and good luck go hand in hand is a myth to which most musicians do not ascribe. Many gifted and disciplined artists create careers of dignified non-recognition and neglect. Only a lucky few receive an opportunity that opens up all of a sudden, like discovering some gold nugget left on a sidewalk. In any case, once the musical gold is plucked, successful artists know how to husband their resources, nurture the art, and stoke the public's continued interest in concert halls worldwide. In the most rare cases, it can occur more than once. Such an artist is Andre Watts, who will be performing with the Philadelphia Orchestra and conductor Raphael Frubeck de Burgos in Beethoven's Emperor Concerto at the Arsht Center's Night Concert Hall, Thursday, February 7th at 8 p.m. Lightning first struck on January 15th, 1963, at the age of 16, when Watts was asked by Leonard Bernstein to debut with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra in their Young People's Concerts, broadcast nationwide on CBS TV. Lightning struck the young prodigy once again 2 weeks later when he was asked to substitute for the ailing Glenn Gould in a performance of Liszt's Concerto No. 1 in E-flat major, again with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. In a career that has now spanned half a century, Andre Watts has played with most of the great conductors and orchestras, including the St. Louis, Atlanta, Detroit, Indianapolis, Seattle, and National Symphonies, as well as the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He has been a regular for summer festivals at Tanglewood, Saratoga, the Hollywood Bowl, Ravinia, and the Mann Music Center. During 2011, he played all Liszt recitals throughout the U.S. and made concerto and recital appearances in Japan, Hong Kong, Germany, and Spain. His discography includes Gershwin, Chopin, Liszt, and Tchaikovsky for CBS Masterworks, recital CDs of works by Beethoven, Schubert, Liszt, and Chopin for Angel EMI, and recordings featuring the concertos of Liszt, McDowell, Tchaikovsky, and Saint-Saëns on the Telarc label. He's also included in the Great Pianists of the 20th Century series for Philips. Andre Watts received a 2011 National Medal of Arts given by President Barack Obama. He is currently professor at the Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University. Recently, I had the pleasure of talking to professor and world-class pianist Andre Watts. Andre Watts, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You were born in Nuremberg, Germany, but you spent your youth in Philadelphia. Tell us about the influence of your mother and early teachers. I've read that you did not enjoy practicing. How did you develop discipline, and when did you realize this instrument would become your life's work?
Oh, lots of questions there. Well, I'm still trying to develop discipline. So that's, let me answer, get that out of the way. Hopefully I have more discipline now than when I was a child. But, you know, I liked playing the piano. I just didn't like the hard work, you know, when I realized, well, that's not good and you have to practice to get better. That seemed a little bit unfair somehow. So my mother my mother forced me to practice. I mean, if I became really recalcitrant, it was simply, you know, well, you have to do that. But she tried to do it initially with encouragement, enthusiasm, and she told me all these stories about Liszt and so forth and so on. And the interesting thing is that so much when I talk to people, they mention that so often, the business about Liszt. I think it was only coincidental that he was Hungarian because, I mean, she didn't talk to me about Bartók, you know, and just that, you know, there was this writing from Liszt talking about practicing 6 hours a day and so forth and so on. And of course, to a kid that, you know, was, I don't know, like watching Superman fly through the air, I suppose. So, well, she got me to practice. That's, you know, one way or the other, by hook or by crook, as it were.
Now, you had two tremendous breaks as a teenage prodigy, and you were a prodigy, both times with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic. It's said Bernstein flipped when he heard your playing. And looking back these many years, how would you describe those two miraculous events, both your playing, the reaction, Leonard Bernstein, and the pressure, the enormous pressure you must have felt?
Well, let me work backwards and say that I was not an idiot, but, you know, I was a kid, and I had no sense of a possible imminence of actually having a career. My interest was, you know, I wanted to please my teacher, my mother, Bernstein, the musicians on the stage. I had a very small, small worldview of the performance, which was lucky for me because I didn't, you know, it's after the fact that things seem, you know, monumental and so forth and so on. At the time, thank God I didn't think about that. Otherwise, I probably would have been paralyzed. The business of the thing that was startling for me was that my teacher suddenly told my mother, of course, and me, okay, in a couple of weeks we're going to go to New York and you're going to audition for the Young People's Concert. She had not told my mother that she had put my name in and asked, you know, for this possibility. And so a few weeks later we went there, and Bernstein was not at the preliminaries, but Helen Coates, you know, his piano teacher and basic factotum, sort of, she took care of everything. Helen Coates was there, and so were the three assistant conductors, and when I finished playing, they stood up. We thought they stood up for everybody. We really did, honest. And we thought, oh, they're awfully nice, you know, they want to make everybody feel good. But it turned out they really thought it was good, and so then I got to the next round, and Bernstein was there, and yes, he said that he flipped and so forth and so on. What I remember is that there were three young girls who shared a Mozart concerto on that same Young People's Concert, and boy, they were all really good, particularly the one who played the slow movement, Claudia Hoca, phenomenally beautiful playing. I mean, played much better than I did. But, it was television, and Bernstein made a big speech and said he was going to be selfish and conduct for me, and so that was the kind of automatic, built-in kind of. I've repeated over the years that basically Bernstein sort of reached out with a platter and said, "Hey, kid, here's a career. You want it? You can have it." that kind of thing.
Well, I just think that must have been terribly intimidating. And like you said, when you were able to, as a young man, to sort of not realize that, that really was a help. Now, Leon Fleischer became your teacher, he was also a prodigy, and he studied with Arthur Schnabel. Did he help you understand that this was a critical transition? Did he have tips? Did he sort of get you to the next stage?
Oh, well, I had great teachers before I studied with Leon, but when I now say, without meaning to slight or denigrate them in any way, when I say my teacher, I'm referring to Leon. I was already playing concerts I was 19 when I started studying with Leon, and so this Bernstein thing all happened when I was 16. And I must tell you that at the time I was overwhelmed by Leon Fleischer's teaching, and years later, after I stopped studying with him, it became more and more and more apparent to me what effort and what pains he took. And he at some point articulated to me, he said, "Well, look, I understood what it was like one night to go in front of a couple thousand people and say, 'Well, you should listen to me because I know what I'm doing.' And then the next day to go and have a piano lesson and say, 'Help me because I feel like a moron.'" So he understood that. And I always refer to him as my teacher. And what I learned from Leon was, whenever I play concerts and he happens to be there, I always... that's pressure. That makes me feel not so comfortable because I'm always thinking, well, I probably should be doing better with what he told me.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about the Arts Center at Night Concert Hall on February 7th. You're joining the Philadelphia Orchestra in Beethoven's Emperor Concerto. Uh-huh. We just heard Beethoven's fourth piano concerto at the Arsch last weekend. Uh-huh. And so we did the fourth and now the fifth. Pitfalls, high points, the cadenza in the first movement. What's going on here?
Well, it's of course a difficult piece. But all Beethoven is difficult in the musical sense. It is, however, a very straightforward piece, certainly at least in the outer movements. It demands a certain physical ability on the part of the pianist. I think that you could probably say this about almost any of the concertos, but the fifth particularly, I think, demands the kind of facility that becomes taken for granted, should be taken for granted. In other words, it's not a display piece, obviously. And so these physical things should be, they're musical expressions. And if they sound like they're, even in the virtuoso passages at the very beginning, these kinds of curtain raiser type virtuoso passage work, it's virtuoso passage work for the piano, but of a certain kind. It's not Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky and so forth and so on. It still has a musical content. And the lack of an actual cadenza, in other words, I think, it would have been interesting if Beethoven had kept writing piano concertos, how it would have developed, later on, if there were a piano concerto from Opus 90s for Opus 100.
That would have been very, very almost bizarre, because it was such a difficult group of pieces at the end. But I'm thinking, if we can just jump real quickly to the 20th century and 21st century, are there any pianists that you enjoy playing? For example, Berg or Ives or even Ligeti. Are you doing anything in those centuries? Because we associate you a lot with 19th century.
Yes. Well, I play Ligeti. I don't play any Berg. I don't play any Schoenberg. I play some Ligeti. I've also done some world premieres, but that's a long time ago. The music of Joseph Castaldo, whom I studied with. So that's about it. I mean, I can't think of what else. I mean, nothing. I don't think I play anything post-Ligeti.
Besides your teaching, finally, what is going on for the rest of the year? And is there a new CD on the short horizon?
No CDs. No CDs. I'm not making any recordings. I'm doing my teaching and my concerts and, things that I enjoy in chamber music. Nothing out of the United States until November, when I go back to Japan.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Andre Watts,
for
attending South Florida Arts Beat, and we all look forward to seeing you very soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Andre Watts has been a star piano performer for more than a half century. A recent review of his performance with the Philadelphia Orchestra in Beethoven's Emperor Concerto was described in the New York Times as steely brilliance and expressively molded intimacy, and by the Washington Post as gleaming perfection. It should be a memorable night in the Arts Center's Night Concert Hall Thursday, February 7th, as he performs Beethoven's fifth and last piano concerto with conductor Rafael Frubeck de Burgos and the Philadelphia Orchestra. For ticket information, call the box office at 305-949-6722 or go to their website, arshtcenter.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
You can email Charles Greenfield at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, has enticing events for your consideration on our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar. Born in Miami, November 23, 1947, South Florida's jazz legend, Melton Mustafa, seemed destined to become a jazz trumpet star. While still in high school, he joined the band of his brother, Jesse Jones, and performed in Miami Beach hotels. A graduate of Florida A&M, he figured prominently in the R&B recordings of Sam and Dave, Clarence Reed, Lattimore, Betty Wright, and Chuck Jackson and the Marvelettes. He also graced stages all over the world in the renowned big bands of Duke Ellington and Count Basie. In 1992, he returned to South Florida to teach jazz and to form his own big band. Currently, Mr. Mustafa directs the Florida Memorial University's Jazz Studies program, where he has taught perhaps thousands of students over the years, and also produced the annual Melton Mustafa Jazz Festival for the past 16 years. His recording career spans several decades, and his latest CD is called The Traveling Man, available from Zaki Publishing. I recently spoke with this quite busy performer, composer, educator, and survivor to discuss his new recording, among other topics. Melton Mustafa, it is an honor to have you back with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. You got a new CD called The Traveling Man and introducing young jazz talent and the executive producer of which is your son. Let's talk about your health, if I may. I don't want to intrude on your privacy, but all of us here in the jazz world down here in South Florida know that you have walked through the fire.
Yes.
And you've come out the other side, and you look great. I love to see that smile on your face. You put on a little bit of weight.
A lot of weight.
No. You had a bout with cancer.
Yes.
And pray to God you've overcome it.
Well, we're working hard, and, you know, you never know how this thing's going to turn on. And so I'm thankful that I'm alive and well right now. Mm-hmm. And whatever is for me, you know, I believe that I can only say that it's the grace of God that I'm mm-hmm. here right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't stress myself out in terms of whether or not I have to, you know, when people get in a situation and then they start cursing this and cursing that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that this is my destiny. And I don't know particularly what my destiny is, but all I know is that I'm going to strive hard and continuously until my time is up. You know, I feel happy. My family is with me 100%. My wife, she's been with me from the very beginning. She works harder than I do.
She's a hardworking woman. Zakiya?
If it wasn't for her, man, she really takes care of me, man. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And she makes sure that I'm eating the right foods. Mm-hmm. I need to exercise, too. I was telling you, today I need to exercise a little more. I do study Tai Chi.
Ooh.
And I, quite often, that helps me out, particularly, you know, the breathing and the slow movement and things, mm-hmm. you know. This is really, really helpful to me.
As we say, you have walked through the fire. Can you impart any advice to those kids coming up, young adults, middle-aged adults?
Yeah.
How can they improve their health? What might you say to us?
I say for the young ones, mm-hmm. at the very beginning, when they first come into the world, I think that we need to be thinking about the health from the very beginning, the kind of food they're eating, what they're eating. I mean, you can eat chicken, but how is it going to be prepared?
Mm-hmm. And where does it come from?
I mean, is it pesticides or something in it, mm-hmm. because of the food that the animals eat,
antibiotics,
it's going the antibiotics and it's stuff, going into your system. These things like this, you don't realize how it affects you until years later. Mm-hmm. You know, we be eating fried foods and all of this, and it tastes really good. I still like fried foods.
Still tastes great.
Still tastes great, but we don't know the damage it's doing until later on in life. But you know, if we concentrate on, in my opinion, organic type foods, grass-fed animals and things of that nature, I think that's one of the best things to try to keep your health going. You know, even the kind of water that you drink, mm-hmm. you know, fluids and things and alkaline type foods that help fight diseases and things of that nature, you know. So if you wait until you're 40, 50, 60 years old before you decide to start wanting to do the right thing, you know, it's almost like too late. I won't say it's too late, but mm-hmm. but we need to start preparing our young ones right now, eating the right proper kind of foods and things of that nature, so we won't be confronted with a lot of things like diabetes and cancer and other diseases that may be a result of the immune system being broken down. That's one of the main things that we need to stress, how to keep that immune system operating properly, you know, mm-hmm. eating the right foods, exercise, et cetera, you know.
Minerals,
vitamins, and et cetera, you know.
Well, good advice from Elton Mustafa. Follow that advice if you aren't currently, because this man knows what he's talking about. And man, when you go into a recording studio, you really know what you're talking about. I believe that's your destiny of performing America's great music and educating kids, as you have been doing at Florida Memorial University for decades. The new CD on Zaki Publishing is called The Traveling Man, Melton Mustafa, and you bring on a young jazz musician and introduce him to the world.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Bartley is a phenomenal jazz saxophonist. I'm sure he plays other instruments, clarinet, flutes, and whatever. I noticed him a few years back, and he's a phenomenal player. I think he's up in New York, going to school up in New York now.
Mm-hmm. So you've launched, hopefully, a great career.
Well, for him, I think it's inevitable. Mm. you know, I think he was destined to make it anyway. Mm-hmm. All he got to do is keep his head on straight and do the right thing, and I think he'll be just fine. You know, he's in the company of a lot of great jazz musicians, great people in general, that he can learn from, and he's like a sponge. He's like, it absorbs. He's unbelievable. He absorbs things. He got a great, fantastic ear, expression, etc. He's just a phenomenal musician in every respect.
That's marvelous. Well, you always work with phenomenal musicians. You've got Jason Jackson on trombone, the great Mulgrew Miller on piano, Essiet Essiet on bass, Victor Lewis on drums, and Ray Mantilla, the renowned percussionist. These guys you've played with many times in the group Horizon with Bobby Watson. How we miss Bobby.
Yeah, so much so. You know, Victor was driving for us in Bobby's band. Victor's always been one of my favorite drummers. As a matter of fact, so much so that my improvisation is kind of like similar to the way he plays drums. Hmm. Very percussive and expressive. And he has a lot to say on the drums. He's a phenomenal drummer. Not only is a great drummer, but his compositions. He's a phenomenal composer, writer too. When he was playing with Woody Shaw and other, you know, great jazz masters, many of his songs were recorded with some of these guys, you know, and he's just a great musician.
All of the musicians are great performers on The Traveling Man, Melton Mustafa's latest release, once again on the Zaki Publishing label. And they're all of your songs and all of your arrangements. And executive producer on the effort is your son, Melton Rosan Mustafa. And unfortunately, Melton, we never have enough time to delve into ideas with you, but I hope there'll be some great announcements coming up on your website, MeltonMustafa.com. And should our listeners want to get in touch with Melton, he's a great jazz educator for decades here in South Florida. You can call him at 305-623-3063. Melton, you've always been a marvelous inspiration.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much.
You down here. You're a guiding light of our South Florida jazz world, and long may you swing, sir.
Thank you so much, Ed. Enjoy it.
Once again, for more information about our guest, Mr. Melton Mustafa, go to MeltonMustafa.com. That's MeltonMustafa.com. Or you can call 305-623-3063. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, how is your new year progressing?
It is wild and woolly and wonderful. There's so much going on in town that I'm exhausted already, and we're barely out of the first month.
What's up?
Well, we're going to start because there's some great things just this weekend. It's going to be next to impossible to get around to everything, but do try. Beginning tonight at the Colony Theater over on Miami Beach, MDC Arts Live, that's Miami-Dade College's Arts Live series, which presents just outrageously fabulous things this season. Tonight they're presenting Kyle Abraham and his extraordinary company, Abraham in Motion, and they're performing Abraham's latest work, which is titled Live, The Realist MC. In it, Abraham investigates gender roles in the black community and the quest for acceptance in the world of a hip-hop celebrity. And we had Kyle Abraham perform here last year as well at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, just to put a little plug in. But I can tell you how incredibly phenomenal this company is to watch, and this newest piece is certain to be spectacular. So definitely get over to the Colony Theater tonight at 8 p.m. for Abraham in Motion. Tonight at the Adrian Arsh Center in the Knight Concert Hall, the Cleveland Orchestra is performing under their artistic director, Franz Wilsermust, with pianist Garrick Olson. The program features Berlioz's groundbreaking symphony, Symphonie Fantastique, that depicts the haunting story of an artist plagued by infatuation and unrequited love. The program juxtaposes the passionate Symphonie Fantastique with Beethoven's incredibly introspective and serene Piano Concerto No. 4, of course being performed by the acclaimed Garrick Olson. That's tonight also over at the Knight Concert Hall at the Adrian Arch Center for the Performing Arts. Tonight and tomorrow night at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, we have a continuation of our cabaret series around the world, tonight featuring Pedro Alfonso and friends. And the theme of the performance tonight and tomorrow night is tango. Pedro Alfonso has played with everyone from Gloria Estefan to Shakira and Juanes, exploring all kinds of different genres in these fabulous late-night cabaret shows that we're presenting. And that's tonight at 8:30, and tomorrow night two shows at 8:30 p.m. and a late show at 10:30 at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. And one of my all-time favorite events is back this weekend. It is the Miami International Map Fair over at History Miami. This phenomenal annual event, believe it or not, is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. It is the largest map fair in the world, and it showcases antique maps, rare books, panoramas, atlases from around the world. And in 2013, the map fair is actually part of Viva Florida 500, a statewide initiative to commemorate the milestone in Florida's history of the arrival of Ponce de Leon in Florida in 1513. So it really is a fabulous event, and that's at History Miami, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, February 2nd and 3rd. Heading to the West now, running through February 17th at the Roxy Theater is the new theater's production of Agnes of God. This is John Pielmeyer's incredible, riveting story. It's a psychological drama that explores the morals and faith, telling the story of a young nun accused of killing her newborn baby and declaring that the child was the result of a virgin conception. That's at the Roxy Performing Arts Center, located near the FIU main campus on Southwest 107th Avenue. So students who are listening, if you want to see phenomenal theater, go right across the street and check out Agnes of God. Again, that's running through February 1st through 17th at Roxy Theater, presented by none other than our fabulous new theater company. Next Thursday, back at the Arch Center in the Knight Concert Hall, the Philadelphia Orchestra is in town with guest conductor Rafael Frubeck de Burgos and the incredible, incomparable pianist Andre Watts, featuring a program of Bach and Stokowski, Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, and Brahms Symphony No. 1. And I know that there was just a wonderful interview with Andre Watts, so I'll just encourage everybody not to miss the opportunity to hear this magnificent artist and one of my favorite orchestras, the Philadelphia Orchestra, at the Arch Center. And again, that's Thursday night, February 7th. On Friday, February 8th, Orchestra Miami is performing at the Pinecrest Gardens Banyan Bowl. That's in Pinecrest on Southwest 57th Avenue, featuring the incomparable soprano Elaine Alvarez in recital with pianist and artistic director of Orchestra Miami, Elaine Rinaldi. They'll be performing works of Bizet, Strauss, Liszt, Turiana, and Lacuna. And it is just, again, if you haven't been to a concert at the Banyan Bowl, it is an absolutely magnificently romantic and spectacular place to hear and see anything. So definitely check that out Friday, February 8th at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, February 8th, and Saturday, February 9th, the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center is presenting The Actors Gang, whose artistic director is Tim Robbins, the famed actor. They'll be performing Tartuffe, the phenomenal play written by Molière and adapted by David Ball. The Actors Gang is an L.A.-based experimental theater company that is bringing this phenomenally quick-witted comedy Tartuffe to our stages. That's Friday and Saturday night, February 8th and 9th, at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. If you want to stay a little further north, Miami-Dade Live Arts is at it again on Friday and Saturday, February 8th and 9th, with Rude Mechanics back at the Colony Theater. The Rude Mechanics is one of the three companies in the country, according to the New York Times anyway, that is making theater that matters. They're an Austin, Texas-based collective, and they take sort of a crazy inventive look at the cult of acting in their performance of their show, The Method Gun. And that's again on Friday and Saturday nights, February 8th and 9th, at the Colony Theater on Miami Beach. For also Friday and Saturday for the next 3 weekends, beginning February 8th and 9th and running the 15th, 16th, and 22nd, 23rd, Christina Alexander is performing her one-woman show, Hate, an American Love Story. That's at the Miami Theater Center in the Miami Shores area. This is the expanded incarnation of what had been the Playground Theater and now doing adult and full theater for every audience. In Hate, an American Love Story, Christina Alexander shares stories of love in America and the country's struggle to understand or accept that different doesn't necessarily have to mean wrong. And that, again, is running three sets of Fridays and Saturday nights beginning February 8th and 9th. And because it is also still very much in their founding genre, the children's programming on stage at the Miami Theater Center through March 10th is their fabulous production, The Love of Three Oranges. This is a brilliant adaptation of an 18th century Italian comedy that was inspired by Prokofiev's opera and then is just brilliantly adapted for stage by Stephanie Anson. It is a fabulous family program. I can't urge everyone to get out enough to go see that at Miami Theater Center in Miami Shores. Also on February 8th and 9th, back at the Arts Center in the Carnival Studio Theater, Augusta Soledad Braz Dance, the Miami-based contemporary dance troupe, is returning to the Arts, performing his incredible work Cordel, which is inspired by Argentine tango, American hip-hop, and Brazil's popular Cordel literature, and Cayala, which is based on the Brazilian folktale How Night Came from the Sea. This is a company that is growing and gaining notoriety so fast, it's almost incredible to see, and they're just fabulously wonderful people, too. So it makes it very nice to see somebody who's doing great art and is also just a totally great person. And that's next Friday and Saturday, February 8th and 9th, in the Carnival Studio Theater at the Arch Center, downtown Miami. And then finally, running through February 12th, the Stage Door Theater at the Byron Carlisle is presenting I Love a Piano, which, of course, is a fabulous nostalgic journey that spans seven decades of American history through the artistry and passion of the great songwriter Irving Berlin. The show includes timeless classics such as White Christmas, God Bless America, Puttin' on the Ritz, and There's No Business Like Show Business. It's tremendously fun and just a great, great experience in celebrating our country and music that has come to define our country. And, of course, that is running through February 12th at the Byron Carlisle Theater in North Beach.
That's Deborah Margall, always the informative Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, I need to be in six places at once.
At least.
Great weekend to you.
Thanks so much. You too.
Let me also mention the Miami Jazz Co-op features Jazz in the Gables, a free special Friday night concert at 8 p.m. tonight at the Coral Gables Museum Plaza. It features the Daniel Strange Trio. Check jazzinthegardens.org for more details. And the City of Homestead invites you to their 100th anniversary festival and concert celebration. It's a free all-ages event with something for everyone, arcade and carnival games for the kids, a musical stage play, and four bands on the main stage. It all starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow at Harris Field in Homestead. Make sure to bring your blankets and lawn chairs and enjoy a free concert and festival courtesy of the City of Homestead. For more info, go to cityofhomestead.com. And enjoy yourself. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield and Deborah Margall. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.